verdict was in, all the evidence away. The finger of justice had declared I must pay, and I, the defendant, could not plead my case. So he put his blood on it, and all was erased. He had mercy, pure mercy, on a prisoner condemned to die. He had mercy, pure mercy. I had no pardon in sight. Then Jesus passed by. He had mercy on a sinner such as I. I'd been apprehended, I was in custody. The whole world was wondering, what would God do with me? And all my accusers were standing in line, but he ordered them to stand back. He said, this one is mine. Oh, I'm so glad I'm saved, glad to be sanctified. I'm glad I'm blood covered, due in heavenly time. There's one thing for certain, I'm even more glad to know that when God goes out walking, he goes down on death row. He had mercy, pure mercy, on a prisoner condemned to die. He had mercy, pure mercy. I had no pardon in sight. Then Jesus passed by. He had mercy.
Singing for a bass man, isn't it?
You ain't kidding.
He sang high last night, and then I texted him this morning. And I said, could you sing something this morning? He said, what are you trying to do, kill me? But I told him, I said, I know you feel the love. It has been a wonderful weekend, and it's because of that mercy that he extended to each of us. And you know, we extend that mercy to our community and to the people around us. And the choir's going to come now. I want you to pray for Sunday as she leads the choir as we sing. Because it's all about this. This is what it boils down to. The blood that he shed on Calvary. You pray for the choir this morning as we sing this blood just before the pastor comes.
Thank you.
the blind, that heals the sick, the lonely finds. It has the power to free the bound, as chains they fall upon the ground. So pour it out, cleanse my soul, and let His liquid glory flow, because it lives to make me whole. I owe my life, I owe my all. So I'm proud to tell you that He's alive, to tell you that He
to tell you that He tried. Man, it's great to be in the house of the Lord. Glad I'm saved. Glad I know what it's about. I'm going to try to bring something tonight or this morning. It's a little different. I try to obviously pray about what God wants, and I want to be in God's will. You know what does a preacher no good to get up here and try to preach something that he thinks he ought to preach? It really does. I heard one time tell me about how he'd been doing it so long he could pretend a little bit. I'm gonna tell you something. I'm glad I don't know what he's talking about. Okay? What I want is what God wants, and it does us no good to try to do what we want. What's the verse when you go to Awana or Sunday school? What's the most well-known Bible verse? What's that say? Y'all tell me over here. For God. Most well known. Amen. We want them to be able to know it. You know, the world's heard that so much. And here's the great news. I want to give you some good news. God has enough grace, and there's enough love, and there's enough mercy, and there's enough blood that every soul can be saved. We got here yesterday, and we've been cooking for days. And you know what the question was? Is there enough? You just don't know. We count on this many. I think we had more show up than we thought. And, you know, we just didn't know. We got to the end and it was sufficient.
Yes.
But here's something. We don't know when Jesus is going to come back, but the Bible tells us he's coming.
Amen.
But it doesn't matter if it's this week or next year or the next century. He's coming. Now, I think the signs are pointing towards. But here's what I want you to understand. There's enough grace. There's enough mercy and there's enough blood that everybody can be saved. Now, if you will stand with me, I'm going to read out of John chapter number 3, and I'm going to start in that 16th verse. But I'm going to read what lies beyond John 3:16, what I want you to think about. I want you to think about this question: why condemnation? You know, a lot of times you hear people and they'll say, well, if God's such a loving God, why would he send anybody to hell? If God's such a loving God, why in the world would he condemn anybody? Well, I want to read you and tell you what the Bible says about that and tell you this morning, if I can, with God's help, why there is condemnation. But in John chapter 3 in verse number 16, it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You don't have to do a whole lot. All you have to do is believe and receive. It says, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. That's why Jesus came. It says, he that believeth on him is not condemned. I like that. But here's where it gets difficult. It says, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And then it says, and this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Now let us pray. Lord, we thank you for allowing us to be in your house this morning. Lord, we thank you for your sweet spirit. Thank you, Lord, for these good songs that we've heard. Now, God, we know that we cannot do anything in ourselves, and God, don't even want to try. Lord, we pray that you'd send your spirit. God, you'd direct our thoughts, our words, everything that's said and done, Lord, in this service, in this house, that somebody would hear this, Lord, and receive it into their heart. And maybe, Lord, we'd get something that we could carry down the road to help somebody else to know you, Lord. We know that you're our Creator. We know that you're our God. And Lord, we want to surrender to you right now. We want to honor you and let everything that's done in this place be about you to lift you up. God, we thank you for, Lord, the souls you've saved. But God, until you do return, we want to see everybody that we can come to know you and have that peace with you. For all you do, all you're going to do, we'll give you the honor, the glory, and the praise. And this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, I want to just get you to think about this thought. Why condemnation? You know, the world was created perfect by God. I believe that. Now, we could get into that, but I believe it was really perfect. And what God created, and he looked at it, and he saw that it was good. But the world was corrupted by sin. You know, we're living in a time today to where people, sometimes they even want to argue with it that there's such a thing as sin. They want to argue with it that there's such a thing as evil. They even want to argue with you that there's such a one as the devil. But you know, we had missionaries here last night, and the man stood up and he said, I believe there's a special place in hell for people who take little children from 3 to 13 years old, and they take them, and the parents would sell their own children for $50 and just walk out with the $50, and those children don't live long. Because when they get to be about 15 years old, they're thrown out of even the brothels because people come from all over the world to that place to experience that evil. Folks, I'm telling you, there's evil. I'm telling you, there's such a thing as sin. There's such a thing as the devil. Okay, and all you got to do is go downtown. You go down to the prison. You experience it. You can feel it just like when you come into the house of God. You can feel the Holy Spirit. You know, when you're here and God begins to speak to your heart, that's not the preacher. It's not my intellect, it's not my ability, it's the Holy Spirit of God coming and moving on the bench where you're at and tugging at your heart and letting you know that things are not exactly right in your heart and your relationship with God. You know, the world was created perfect by God, but it was corrupted by sin. Now here's the good news, and I said it just a minute ago, there's an answer. They sang about it just a minute ago. His name is Jesus. He came because he loved man so much that he came and gave everything that he had so that you and I would not have to die for our own sins. You see, because it doesn't take being as bad as those people in Cambodia. All it takes is one sin. Now, if you study God's Word and you look at the book of James, sometimes people want to characterize sin. They want to say, this one is worse than this one. I've even had them try to argue it with me. And my sons have come to me, and they begin to ask me questions. I take them to the book of James, and I show them what the Scripture says, that whosoever hath committed one sin is guilty of all. That's what God's Word says. Because God is holy, holy, holy is what Isaiah said. He's high, and he's lifted up, and he cannot look upon sin. So you cannot come into his presence. Now what Jesus Christ did for us is he took our place on the cross so that we can take his place, so that God the Father, when he looks at us, he doesn't look at us as we are in our sin. He sees us through the perfect Son, Jesus Christ, so that we stand holy and clothed in the righteousness of God. Now folks, that's good news, that God so loved the world. You see, God had a plan. And the plan that was that he sent his Son into the world, not that to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Now that's fantastic news. The word gospel means good news. And folks, that right there is gospel. And if people would believe that, it saved the world. But we got a problem. There's darkness and there's sin all over the world. And if you look around at what's going on into the world today, it's kind of like this right here. Have you ever done this? You take your Bible and you get it out and lay it on the corner of your desk. Or you lay it on the dash of your truck. Yesterday when you come in the foyer back here in the back, somebody had stuffed a rattlesnake and they had put it over on the side. I noticed some people were curious. They'd go over and they'd look at it and, you know, they'd touch it. But some people, when they seen it and they knew it was stuffed, they'd get away from it. They'd go on the other side of the room. They'd try not to get too close to it. And they'd say, that thing gives me the willies. I heard somebody say, that thing represents the devil. And I don't even like it being in here. You know that I've laid my Bible out at work. And people come by and it's worse than a rattlesnake. They see it when they come in my office and they focus on it and they look at it and they kind of walk around it like this. I had it on my desk, dash of my truck at work one time on a job site, and a guy walked by and he looked at it and he looked at me and then he looked back at it and I said, yes, a Bible. You know why it offends them? Because it speaks loudly. You know, sometimes I'll sit down and I'll begin to read God's Word, and it's got so much power, I look at it and I think that it's going to move across the desk. Because the Bible says the Word of God is quick. It's powerful. It's sharper than a two-edged sword. It pierces even to the dividing asunder of soul and the spirit and of the joints and the marrow. And it is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. God knows what's going on inside of your heart and your mind at all times. The Bible says the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. Nothing is hid from Him. So why is there condemnation? Well, this is the condemnation. The Scripture says that light has come into the world, but they rejected that light. Here's the number one thing. Why is there condemnation? Because people refuse to believe. Sometimes people say, well, I just can't believe. I need somebody to just come and give me, I want God to put His hand on my shoulder. I want God to give me some tangible evidence. Well, folks, He's given it to us. All we have to do is walk outside and look up and see that He hung the sun to give us the light by day. He hung the moon to give us the light by night. The tides go out, the tides go in. The Scripture says that He's going to continue to provide harvest until the end. But there's going to come a time when God's going to say, that's it. Scripture says He left Himself not without witness, and that He gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons. You know, they just refuse to believe. In John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Why do people refuse to believe? Because they don't want what it represents. They reject the light. Because, the Scripture says, because their deeds were evil. You see, they see the light because God is all around us. He's in the creation. He's in everything that we have. He's in everything that we do. Now, I don't see how anybody could hold a little baby and not see God. I don't see how anybody could come into the house of the Lord and not see God. Well, sometimes that's the problem. They see Him, but they don't want to get too close to Him. Do you know that there were some people here last night that would come in the door and they'd look in and they'd hear a little bit, but they didn't want to get too close up front. It's almost like they're afraid to come down, afraid something's going to get on them. And it will. You know, I heard a pastor up at Woodstock First Baptist preaching, and he was talking about how God got on him. And this is what he says, and he says it so emphatically. He said, He changed my life. And that's what God will do. You see, people see the light, they see God all around them. I don't see how you can look up and see the sunrise and not see God. I don't see how you can see a rainbow and not see God. That's the promise of God, that there'd never be a flood. People say, oh, I just don't believe that. Well, let me tell you right now, carbon dating doesn't work right. Okay? You know, when you get around somebody that wants to convince you something on that side, they'll tell you. But when you start studying it for yourself, you'll understand the tangible evidence on this earth tells us that there was a great flood, and that's why there are layers of sediment that are stacked. That's why there's oil pools. That's why there's a Grand Canyon. It wasn't an Indian dragging a stick. Folks, it was the water that was running off after a great flood that occurred the way God's Word said it did. But people refuse to believe. They know the light is there. They know what the light represents. I want to go over to Romans chapter number 1 and read just a few verses beginning in the 18th verse. I'll tell you what the book of Romans says, and it lines up with what we've got over here in the book of John. It says, for the wrath of God, this is an 18th verse, it says, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest or shown in them. For God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God unto an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and to four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Now, if we look at this scripture, they know what the right light represents, but it's clear that they reject it. You know, sometimes people say, well, I just can't believe in God. I believe a lot of people believe, they just reject. And when you look at what the Word of God says, that's what it tells us. They reject the way, the only way. Now, I want to tell you, there is only one way. Sometimes people say, well, let's get this figured out. Maybe there are multiple ways. Well, that's not what the Bible says. Now, that's not what Jesus says. Jesus is not just a prophet. He is the Son of God. The Scripture says in Acts chapter number 4 that there's no other name given among men whereby we must be saved other than the name of Jesus. You come down to 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 5. It says there's one God and one mediator between God and men. And who's that? The man, Christ Jesus. Only one. You go over to Philippians chapter 2 and verse 10. This is some of my favorite. I love these verses. It says every knee's going to bow and every tongue's going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. It's going to happen. And when people hear these types of things, why do you begin to twitch and get uncomfortable? Why do you walk around that Bible and why do you not want to get too close to it? It's because you know that it's alive. And the Bible tells us that they know that it's alive, but they reject the way. They reject the truth, and they reject the life. Now, why do they reject it? Now, the Scripture says in John chapter 3 and verse 19, says, and this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Well, here's why there's condemnation. Here's why they reject. It's because they love darkness. That's what the Bible says. And when I look at that, you know, sometimes we read John 3:16 and we just love that verse. And people say, well, you know, if God is so just and so merciful, well why would He condemn anybody? He doesn't condemn them. They condemn themselves. Because they reject Him and they turn their back on Him and they walk away from Him. Could you imagine having a relationship with your husband or your wife, and you want them to love you, you want them to be good to you, you want them to be faithful to you, you want them to be at home when you come home, you want them to do the things that they're supposed to do, but you never love them. You're never kind to them. It'd be like me going to my wife and saying, honey, I need you to let me borrow some money so I can take my girlfriend out on a date. Now y'all beginning to understand why there's condemnation. And that's what people do with God every day. They say, well, I want God to bless me. I want God to put His hand on my home. I want God to bless my finances. I want God to help me when I have a car wreck and I can't recover and the doctors tell me there's nothing else that they can do. But you know, they reject God because they love darkness. Now the Scripture says, go over there again to Romans. And I want to read the latter part of the 32nd verse. Now, if you begin to read in this scripture and it begins to tell you about how that because they reject God, God turns them over to a reprobate mind. Well, what's a reprobate mind? It's this. When you get to the point that you've rejected truth for so long that you can no longer discern truth. It's kind of like somebody, you ever know anybody that tell a lie and you ask them again and they trying to remember the lie they told you so they can get it right, and they tell so many lies they can't separate the lie from the truth. Well, when you reject truth and you reject truth and you reject truth, you get to the point that you can't tell what truth is. And that's where we're at in America today. We've rejected God. We've rejected the Word of God to where we can't discern what right and wrong is anymore. That's why you go over to Isaiah chapter number 5 and it says, "Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness." That's where we're at today. When you stand and do the right thing and you go down the road going to God's house, people look at you and they turn up your nose because they've rejected truth so long, they don't know what right and wrong is anymore. And then it goes on down here and you begin down in the 28th verse and it starts to talk about how that wickedness begins to be turned loose. Now let me tell you what happens when you just reject God. And you just turn your back on God and wickedness starts to roll. It's what's happened in this country in the last 40 or 50 years. You see, we voted that we're going to take prayer out of schools. We don't need God in our schools anymore. Then we voted that we're going to take the Ten Commandments off the courthouse walls. We voted that we're going to tell that preacher that if he preaches that way, we're going to take away the tax-exempt status. Because people reject the light because their deeds are evil. Well, what happens to them? When you take God out, I'll tell you what happens. People begin to run rampant and wickedness rules because we've told our children they're animals, they're acting like animals. That's why you worry about your kids walking down the street in the city and somebody killing them for their tennis shoes. People love darkness. In the latter part of the 32nd verse, and it says, I want to read this 32nd verse, and this is what it tells you. It talks about those who reject God. It says, "Who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them." Now, have you ever talked to anybody or tried to witness to them that was so hard, and you ask them about where they're going to go when they die? And they'll just tell you, "I'm going to hell." I've heard people say that. They mockingly say it. But the truth is, they know the judgment of God, but they still reject the love and the mercy of God. Why would you reject God when all He wants to do is help you? All He wants to do is lead you and guide you and help you have the best life that you can possibly have. That's what God wants to do. You say, "Well, I'm not sure I can be like you." Let me tell you something. God does not want you to be like anybody else. God does not want me to be like any other preacher. He does not want our singers to be like any other singers. He does not want our deacons to be like any other deacons. He does not want our Sunday school teachers to be like any other Sunday school teachers. What God wants to do is take what you have and help you be the very best that you can be for His glory. And He'll use you just like you are with what you have. If you're like that little boy who came and he just had two fish and he had five loaves and he said, "God, this is what I have. Would you use it?" God wants your lunch. But people love darkness. That's what the scripture says. Then look at verse number 20. So it says, "For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light." They hate the light. You know, sometimes when I begin to try to witness to people and I'm trying to talk to them, I don't want to do anything to offend them. I really don't. Because sometimes the reason people get curt and harsh with you is because God has jumped on them. See, that if there's nothing to it, then why don't they just laugh and go on their way? You know, I've had people try to convince me of stuff, and I said, "You know, it doesn't offend me. The Jehovah Witness come to my house, it's not long till I've got them biting their tongue." They don't change anything. It's in my heart because God planted it down in there. But people begin to be offended, and they begin to hate the light. They don't hate you. They hate God. They hate what you represent. That's why they see you as offensive. They are the haters of God that are mentioned in Romans chapter 1 and verse number 30. You see, they hate the light. because they do not like what the light reveals. That's why when I come in here to preach, and if the lights are not on, I say, flip them on. Flip them all on. I heard somebody tell me this one time. They said, you know, I spent so much time of my life in a dark bar that when God saved me, I don't even like going into a church when they turn the lights off. Now, I know I've been in those, you know, those praise meetings. They turn the lights off and everybody raises their hands. Folks, look, let me tell you something. I can go hear the Newsboys or I can go hear the Primitive Quartet, okay? I just want to hear something that lifts up the name of Jesus. But here's what I want you to understand. That when we're saved by the grace of God, we're not afraid of the light. Okay, we want to walk in the light. It's like this. When I go into the house of God, I want the preacher to open the book and just pour it out. I don't want a preacher to get up and be an ear tickler and try to make me feel good. I want something from the Word of God that will speak to my soul and help me be more of the man that God wants me to be. I'm not afraid of the light because I've been born again. And I know that God loves me. And I know that anything the Holy Spirit speaks to me, it's for my good. But people don't like what the light reveals because they do not want the condemnation that comes from the light. That's why they don't come near it. They don't want to come into the light. They don't want to come near the light. They don't want the light of God shine on them because it reveals the things in their life that are incorrect. And if He's the light and if He's the Redeemer and they're walking in darkness, it's offensive because they say, I don't want to change. You know, some people do want to change. They do. And I love coming to Celebrate Recovery and hearing the testimonies. And that's why you need to know as a church, when people come in these doors, you look at them, I tell you what we need to do. We need to see somebody that Jesus loves. We need to see somebody. Don't judge them by their appearance. Don't look and think about what they've been doing. Don't think about what they've got on them or what they look like. See somebody that needs Jesus. And we need to find a way through the love of Christ, because we are His hands, we are His feet, we are His mouthpiece, to tell them what God would want to say to them. Because some people do come in. We had a lady here a couple of weeks ago that gave her testimony in. It was impactful. And there's one thing that I listened to. She said every step, every time she went up and down in her life, she said no matter what I did, I was ashamed. What is that? That's living in sin, knowing that you're not right with God, knowing you're not where you're supposed to be, not even being pleased with where you're at, but not knowing how to get out. That's why when people come into the house of the Lord, we need to show them the love of Jesus Christ to help them know that I don't care what, here's what the devil wants you to believe. You've been in the darkness. You don't fit in that church house with those people. They're not going to love you. They're going to judge you. They're not going to treat you right. But I want you to understand something. Don't stand out in darkness. When the light is shined, walk toward the light and allow God to do in your life only what He can do. Nobody else can do it. So I believe that some do want it. Everybody don't. And this is something that troubles me, but it's true. I'd love to be able to see everybody I witness to get saved. It was mentioned in the Sunday school this morning, you know, some of the hardest people to witness to are those of your family. Why? Because they know how you really are. Well, let's just get that out in the open. You know what we really are? We're all a bunch of sinners saved by grace. Okay? Now, look over to the person beside you and say, you're not perfect. You're not going to be till Jesus comes. Because as long as you're living in this flesh, as long as you're living in this flesh, you're going to struggle. You know, when I got home last night after, you know, I got home and it was about 11. Y'all know, some of you know. I got home about 11 o'clock. I was... He had to have a bath. He growled like a tiger when I put him in that tub. Why? You're not perfect. You're not going to be perfect. So if you come into the house of God thinking, well, those people think, don't think you're perfect. When you see somebody come in, there go I, but for the grace of God. Not everybody's going to want it, though. Sometimes I've witnessed to people and it's just not going anywhere. And one thing I found is you help them if you can. But if you can't help this one, go find somebody you can. You see, why is there condemnation? It's not, folks, it's not because there's not enough grace to go around. It's because the light's been shown and people love darkness. They love sin and they hate light. Witness to a man one time, he said, I'm just not ready. I'm just not ready to give up this and I'm just not ready to give up that. And as I witnessed to him, and it troubled me, but I thought, until you get willing to fall down and say, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner, the truth is, you'll never be saved. And this past week, I went to two funerals. And I keep these little things in my Bible. Every time I go to a funeral, I try to pick one up. And I read it. And it reminds me of the fact that it's coming to all of us. And I come into church, and I don't know how many more sermons I'll get to preach, how many more opportunities I'll have. But folks, one day we're all going to stand before God. And when we stand before Him, He's not going to say, well, did you ever, and start naming, you know what we want to do. Did you ever run a stop sign? Well, y'all guilty of that. Did you ever kill anybody? Some of you may have. Did you ever do any drugs? Did you ever drink? He's not going to ask you that. You know what He's going to say? He's going to say, what did you do with my son? What did you do with my son? See, because it's not about how good you can be, because you can't. It's about accepting what He did for you. Why is there condemnation? It's because Jesus has been rejected. The payment's been paid. It's like going into a restaurant. You ever been in one of those and they say, I just want to buy lunch for everybody. It's kind of like this. Now, I'm not offering this, but this is kind of like this. I just want to go. I want everybody to go to Ryan's today. Just an example. And I'm going to buy everybody's lunch, and whatever they want, they can have. And some go, and they go in and they sit down and they enjoy the meal. And they're satisfied, but there's some that just stand on the outside and they won't come in. And you can say that condemnation, well, why are they hungry? Because they won't eat what God's offered. Now, I want them to come with this song, and I want you to think about it for just a minute. You can get saved sitting right where you're at. I was in a church service one time, and we'd been praying for a man, and he got up and he come down. You know, the scripture says, we read it, with men it is impossible, but with God all things are possible. If you're praying for somebody, you just keep praying. Yeah. He come down and he hit the altar, and I was sitting right here and another preacher, and we went down. And as soon as we went down, the heaviness that I had for him, it just lifted. You know, I've seen people pray for a long time, but I've seen, you know what getting saved is? Accepting. It's when you say, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. I admit I'm a sinner. And I ask you to come into my heart and be my Savior. And when you mean business with God, you'll be saved. Amen. I'll ask you to stand to your feet. If you'd like to come down and pray, you can do that. We'd love to pray with you. As we said yesterday, you know, we had a good time around here cooking gator tail and frog legs and wild boar and all these other things. And I want to tell you something, church, the fellowship, that I enjoyed that as much as anything. And seeing people get to know one another. But I said this during the service, and I meant this, and I believe this is true. The highlight was being able to come and pray with somebody. That's the best thing. Right now is the highlight of the service. And if God spoke to your heart, people here love you. God loves you, and God is looking for you. As they sing this song, this is your opportunity to pray if you'd like to come pray. Amen.
of all humanity, and he rules by his word. He is king of all the ages, the first and the last. I'm his child by mercy, forgiven from my sinful past. He is a dying Savior, bruised, shamed, and despised. He is the great Redeemer, giving victory and life. He is the risen Conqueror, setting my captive spirit free. And I love him, yes, I love him, because he first loved me. When I see who he is, I realize what I am. And I wonder why a holy God would ever reach down so far, place me in his hand. My ears had heard the story, but now my eyes have seen his glory, and I can't turn away from his grace. I'm incredibly, miraculously saved.
He's my friend and gentle shepherd, my shelter from the storm. He is closer than a brother, and the rock I lean upon. He is my Abba Father, my confidence, my love. I'm depending on his goodness, lost but for his blood. When I see who he is, I realize what had heard the story, but now my eyes have seen his glory, and I can't turn away from his grace. I'm incredibly, miraculously saved. When I see who he is, I realize what I heard the story, but now my eyes have seen his glory, and I can't turn away from his grace. I'm incredibly, miraculously saved.
I'm incredibly, miraculously saved.
Y'all know that's my favorite song.
Yeah. Wonderful, merciful Savior, precious Redeemer. one that we praise. You are the one we adore. You give the healing and grace our hearts always hunger for. Oh, our hearts always hunger
to go around. Wouldn't it, have you ever thought about what it would be like if everybody had peace with God? What would it be like if the one that you talked to this week, and I know everybody has, had troubles? Number one, just had peace with God. We've got a great announcement to make here. Ask Bell Hart to come over. Bell got saved, and Bell wants to come join the church by baptism. So we're very excited. She's a little bit shy and a little bit nervous, but it's a fantastic thing. And accepting Jesus as your Savior is the most important decision you'll ever make in your life. Being a Christian is great life. Being at peace with God is more valuable than anything else you'll have. Amen. So we got Bell. Can we get a move?
Move. Should be accepted.
Be accepted in a second. All in favor, let me know and say an aye.
Aye.
Amen. It's fantastic. Thank you for coming this morning. Thank you for being with us. And I'm so thankful for the moving of the Spirit of God. And it's about the Lord. It's about Him. We want to lift Him up. Amen.